Are there any members of the public that wish to speak to the board on non-agenda items? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Very closely to the microphone.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Kathleen Beaudelet. I'm coming before you to plead for your guidance. Last year, we, Sally Hoople and myself, managed to get ASL, American Sign Language, on the books as a world language. Colony High School, via the MSBSD, gained access to a stimulus grant to pay for the class. 15 of those students graduated from that class and are registered for ASL2 for their second year of their world language requirement for college. 144 students are registered for ASL1, and now we're being told that there's no funding to be found to provide the class, or the classes. And that was just as of today. I found that the ASL classes are not happening. Shaw Elementary, Thielen Middle, and Colony High School are supposed to be the schools in the Valley that provide services to the deaf students. They're supposed to be the schools for the deaf. If you're not getting shipped into Anchorage, you come to one of these three schools from all over the Valley to have deaf services. We are providing strictly interpreters. With the ASL class, it was starting to put a ripple into the pond. The other students were learning sign language, they were communicating with the deaf students, and they were opening up access to peer communication with a variety of students. Not as wonderful as all of us interpreters are, we don't provide full peer communication. We don't provide that full access that you're supposed to have as part of your school education process, the growth, all of that. The claim to be the school for the deaf has to be more than just the provision of interpreters. Before this ASL class started, we had very isolated students. As I said, they had interpreters to communicate with the other students through. Now they've just started to get access directly with their peers. The college was working with us to establish dual credit for the ASL classes. Now it's all going to be dropped due to lack of funding. On so many levels, it's just bad form, and I don't know what to do to fix it. I don't know where to go, so I'm coming to you. It's not my job. I'm an interpreter. I'm an instructor. I'm not a funding person, but I don't know where else to go, and there are a lot of people that are counting on this class happening, so I'm coming to you for guidance. Where do I go? What do I do? Is there any answer? I don't even know where to begin to find a resolution to the problem.
Thank you. Well, you've stated your case, and folks have heard you.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other persons to be heard on non-agenda items? Seeing none, this takes us down to borough and city reports. Is there a borough city report to be heard today? Seeing none, this takes us down to administrative reports. We have A, school activity accounting software report. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to defer to our CFO, Ken Forrest, and Terry Irwin.
Good evening. We have Terry Irwin and Joyce Stein here to provide the board with a brief update on the school cash accounting.
We'll just provide you with a quick update, but I wanted to go back just a little bit and remind everybody why we did this to begin with. The first thing that was on our agenda was to try to make things a whole lot easier for the admin secretaries, knowing that their time is valuable and they were spending an awful lot of time of processing paperwork, and they were using very different systems, and so we wanted to get everyone on the same system so things could be more unified. So we wanted to increase the accountability, visibility, efficiencies, and by doing so, that was going to increase our credibility with the auditors. In fact, they just happened to stop in my office the other day and asked how our conversion was going, and they were very, very excited that we've done this. Another good reason that we implemented the software was to provide greater assistance to parents. And Joy's going to give you an example of how this summer it became very handy to be able to run reports from the administrative office. Again, providing assistance to principals, coaches, club sponsors, being able to give them the capability to look up reports, know where they're at any given time with their individual school accounts. And we wanted to provide a better internal control for handling of cash. As you know, at high schools, you have an awful lot of gate receipts. There's a lot of cash, sometimes $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So the process of using school cash and the receipting component of it, you can put the name of the person that provided the check number, the date, what it was for, internal memos, and you can sort by any one of those fields. So that was the other reason. Also, by doing this, we knew that we were going to be opening Pandora's box, and that was okay. We knew we were going to have some challenges, but we wanted to address those challenges, and we did. The very first thing that we found was that we had schools that were making payments to students and to staff and to the public. And so we immediately set up a process to where now that no longer happens. And the information comes through the district office, goes through Joy's office and HR, and winds up in the payroll department on a payroll check. That's what's legal, and that's what we set up to do. So that was huge right there, was just stopping that. The other thing was by making payments to individual vendors or employees, where we were not getting the correct names, or we weren't getting employer identification numbers, the correct Social Security numbers for 1099 reporting. And there's also, you know, as you probably know, a lot of fines and penalties associated with not following IRS regulations. Issuance of 1099s was a huge problem at the end of the year. We were having to consolidate from 44 schools into the main program of the school district. Now it's pretty seamless. And the last one was standardization of the chart of accounts. As Mr. McPhail can probably answer questions about this, the way that we set up the chart of accounts and the categories, we can track Title IX requirements. That was another one, another big issue. What we have yet to do, Joy's going to talk a little bit about the actual what have we gotten accomplished, and mainly I have to give her and her staff the credit because they're the ones that really did it. But on my side of the house, we still have the manuals that we need to revise. So we don't have a timeline on when we're going to be able to bring that to you, but that's the next big goal, is to figure out how we're going to merge the co-curricular manuals and the student activities accounting manuals into one. So with that, I'll turn it over to Joy, and she'll tell you kind of how we did it and what we have left to do, and then we can answer any questions.
Good evening. We set off to start this implementation for school cash in February, and we had finished with all 44 sites before the end of May, before all of the secretaries had to get ready for year end. Each of the sites were able to have 6 one-on-one hours with KEV representative trainers at their desk. So it was a great opportunity for them to get the training they needed without ever leaving their site or leaving their desktop. And the other thing is the familiarity with their own computer. They could set things up that would give them the ease of use, their own printers for writing checks. All of those things that were developed in the training parts were really effective, and it made the training very, very user-friendly and effective and very smooth. When the sites checked out in the end of May, and we were able to do all of the year-end rollovers and check all of their stuff, all of their information, all of their payments, and we were completed with the student activities part of FY11 before the 20th of June or the 20th of July, which was remarkably fast. And when we have the transparency to be able to look and to be able to get all of the data in district-wide reports and be able to cross-check that, that's another advantage from having the uniformity of the chart of accounts and also having everybody follow the same process. So if there were errors, we were able to find them very, very quickly. We had some interesting opportunities this summer with parents calling and wanting to know maybe why their check hadn't been cashed or where their payments went. And with the transparency that we have at the administrative office, we were able to go in, log in, find the student's name, be able to go in and track the check and be able to give information to the parents. That's something that we didn't have on previous systems, and so we were able to alleviate frustration on the parent side and then also be able to have them prepare for what they needed to do when they were able to return, when the staff returned to the sites. So being able to help them along and be able to get those questions answered for them during the summer months, that was a really good opportunity for them, for the parent side, to see the advantage of it. Another thing that we have with the student cash is the sequential numbering of the receipting. It's automated now. It's not, most of the sites have alleviated using the manual receipt books. And so this helps with the cash management, as Terry mentioned. But with what happened last year with the Anchorage School District, that was something that was brought up because we do handle a lot of cash. And so that was helpful and enabled us to be able to know that things were done well. What's coming up, we are going from doing the school cash accounting, we're going online to do all the parent payments online. At district office, we begin our training for that portion of the implementation on the 26th. And the schools will come online and start their training, which will also be one-on-one training at the sites with the KEV trainers, and they will have 3 hours of training each, and that will begin on October 3rd. And so we will be completely implemented by the end of October.
What Joy meant, too, by the online piece is parents being able to use e-check or credit card. So, again, the transparency of what's being paid for what type of fee. We'll be able to run reports right off the credit card reports.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the board? Let's start with Member Gaddis. Excuse me, Member Welton. Okay, Member Gaddis.
I actually have a lot of questions, and in fact, I think I will get with Joy at a later date because we have done school receipts and fundraising and such together, and so I know that she's very familiar with, but what I did want to ask tonight is, if I pay for a towel fee as a parent, or if I pay for a lab fee, will I be able to go online, somewhere about the end of October 31st, and see that, yep, that towel fee? Some of those things I never found out. A, the check sometimes never got checked. Things happened. Who knows? They're in the back of a backpack. But more importantly, grades didn't happen unless you had those fees paid and lab fees. So will a parent be able to know when they go online that there are no outstanding fees, or will they go online and just see that those fees were paid? Will you be able to, and do you access it through iParent or?
You actually will access that type of information. It will be available, a historical view, as well as what is outstanding for students.
Perfect.
Yes, and you will be able to access it, not necessarily through Parent Online, but School Cash Online. And there will be a specific login for parents. And those parents will also be able to pay all fees at one time for every student in the district. For multiple schools. So they can go through and checkmark everything that they want to pay and check out all at once, and then it will be disseminated to the schools appropriately.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really a fantastic system.
I believe you.
Member Larson.
And next year, online registration, you'll have this up online totally, so a parent can register your child and pay all the fees at the same time, pretty much.
They'll have to go into the different programs. Just like with food service, they'd have to go into food services portal. We might be able, I think Ken had some ideas with the software when we purchased it. He was a little bit ahead of where they were. So they said that they would work with us and have us be a beta site to test some of the things that Kim wanted to integrate.
And And the other issue is that that will work if the child's schedule is in the system. So the schedules have to be entered. Otherwise, the system doesn't know what fees to charge.
So if I'm registering a kid next summer, and I register and get the schedule up, will there be something on that online registration saying fees, so I can just click over to fees and click over to food and that kind of thing? It's all going to be set up that way.
And that's our goal, is to give parents the option to, again, pay with an e-check, meaning it'll hit their checking account, or with a credit card. And as we found with the food service payments, it's been increasing every year, the times that parents have been going on there. And I think Dr. Prama was talking about, she goes on at the beginning of the year and puts a flat amount on her child's account, and it just keeps dwindling down. So that, the ease for parents is what we're after as well.
Member Pauser.
I notice when I go on for the food service, I get charged. If I use my credit card, a 4%, it's not going to charge that kind of thing to pay fees online, is it?
There is a transaction fee, but at this point in time, we have, we have subsidized that fee. So there will be a fee, but it's not going to be much. There is, you always have a transaction fee with a credit card.
We're looking at the feasibility of getting the fees lowered in food service and or providing a subsidy. One of the reasons we felt we could provide the subsidy for school cash accounting is that accounting negotiated an extremely low rate with the vendor. So the transaction fee is really lower. It's the lowest I've ever seen. So it's easy to help subsidize a fee that's already very low, very nominal.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the board? Thank you very much. This takes us down to item 7, superintendent update. We also have a student advisory report, but we do not have a student advisor at this time because school has not yet started. So, Dr. Parma.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I would like to go on record tonight to officially thank you once again for the opportunity to serve the Matsu Borough School District. I'm excited to do so and to make our district the very best in the state, if not the nation. We're going to continue the good work we've done. The latter part of this week, I will be hiring for the position for which I vacated. Mr. Forrest and I will be reviewing this week for candidates. In line with the previous presentation, I'd like you to know that our online registration is going well. It's not without its bumps. It is new. Those folks, what we found, that had iParent accounts and were very high users of iParent, it's very, very slick. We're figuring out the kinks in regard to those parents who did not use our previous system well, but I want to announce that we do have the same type of registration that we've had before, with assistance on computers or handwritten, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of August. So we're going to facilitate different venues, if you will. It's phenomenal. In fact, I'd just like to share, I paid my water bill before I came here this evening, and the gal behind the counter said, I just have to tell you, I love this online registration. She has 4 children, 1 in high school, 1 in middle school, and twins in 5th grade. So she was very appreciative. When we do hear the feedback and the kinks, we have highly skilled IT staff and programmer that they get that done under the direction of Michelle Hoyt. I did meet with principals the last 2 days with the team. They are set, ready to go. They're in the buildings. Their staffs are in the buildings. As mentioned before, those of you that may have gone to the assembly meeting, the Ordinance 11-099 with the districting of the school board did fail. I'd like to suggest the discussion came about access to board members, and I would be delighted to set up sometime a system for administration, board, a combination of both, to attend city council meetings in those areas. We are getting feedback at the schools in a systematic way. However, I think attending those city meetings maybe once a year would be beneficial. Thank you, and I'm honored to serve.
Thank you. Any questions for Superintendent Paramo, and can we start with Member Welton? The question that Member Welton has had is, was there any action last night at the borough meeting regarding the bonds?
Member Welton, there were quite a few questions. Mayor DeVilbiss requested the school board and administration share information. At this time, they have postponed the discussion until August 9th, which is next Tuesday, and we will be prepared to answer any more questions at that time.
Member Gaddis.
I just wanted to know I've gotten a few calls from people trying to register, and I've recommended that they call the administration and find out, but is there a caveat, if you will, that you can put on the web page, maybe in red, say, have any problems, call IT number such and such, because I recommended that they call IT, and some of our parents were not, I started using IT, and they didn't know what that meant, so maybe we could put a number if they're having problems.
Yes, ma'am. We'll make that larger. Yeah. And we call it help desk, so we'll be sure to get that going.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Superintendent Paramo? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 7, consent agenda. Is there a motion to move the consent agenda forward?
I moved item 7, consent agenda, A, minutes June 15, 2011, B, minutes June 23, 2011, C, minutes June 24, 2011, D, minutes July 12, 2011, E, minutes July 14, 2011, F, minutes July 18, 2011, G, 12-005, recommendation for certified new hires, H, 12-006, recommendation for rehire retired teachers.
Motion was moved by Member Cordero. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Member Pollager. We're going to do a voice vote. Member Welton? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pollager?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item 9, action items A, 12-004, Mat-Su Center School Curriculum Additions. Are there members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
Only upon a questions.
Are there any questions for members of the board? Seeing none, is there a motion to move this item forward?
I move A, 12-11004, Mat-Su Central School Curriculum Additions.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Pollager. Are there any comments from members of the board? Seeing none, we'll do a vote. Voice vote. Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pollager?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item B, 12-007, student readmission case E11-003. Is there a motion to move this item?
I move B, 12-007, student readmission case E11-003, with recommendation from the administration to be followed.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Larson. We're going to do a voice vote. Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Pollager?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item 10, non-action items. A, 12-008, first reading, BP 9123. Is there a report?
No, Mr. President, unless there's some questions.
There are questions for members of the board. Member Welton? This item will see no questions from other members of the board. This item will come up at our next meeting for action. This takes us down to item B, 12-009, first reading, BP 9240, board development. Is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President.
Are there any questions for members of the board? Member Welton?
No.
Seeing no questions for members of the board, this also will come up at our next meeting for action. This takes us down to item C, 12-010, first reading, BP 9322, agenda meeting materials. Is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President.
Are there any questions for members of the board? Member Welton? Seeing no other questions, seeing no questions from board, this takes us down to, I'm sorry, excuse me, Member Larson.
Yes, the revision part of it on the back, the paragraph reads, board members may request an item be placed on the agenda by submitting the new section, submitting a request in writing to the board secretary no later than 12 days before the scheduled meeting date, and obtain their concurrence of at least one board member. Where I get a little bit on the foggy issue is the last sentence says, alternatively, the request and concurrence may be made verbally during a school board meeting or work session. Is that for the following week, or is that for that particular meeting? It doesn't specifically say.
So let me ask the question. It's a good question. If we had a meeting using this alternative language, somebody could bring in motion, an item, let's say, up at a work session, and maybe the next day's a meeting, they can get that on the...
No, what I'm saying is during the meeting, somebody could, under this language, could bring up an item, get a second, and put it on the meeting right at the time, because it doesn't say that. It does not say that you can... I assume we would be bringing these... when we have a board, the section in here where we have board comments, if I want to bring something up for possibly the next meeting, that's where I assume this would fall. But it does not say that. It does not say that. And it indicates that if I want to bring up an item and I get a concurrence, it doesn't say it's for the next meeting. What it virtually says that I could probably bring that up as a new item at that particular meeting at that time.
Member Gaddis.
And I understand what Member Larson is saying, but I read it that we can do it in writing, or it allows a verbal option as well. But again, one is a meeting before the board meeting, or one is 12 days before the agenda is set. That's the way I read that paragraph, but it just gives us two options.
Member Powger.
We could add, alternatively, the request and concurrence may be made verbally during a school board meeting or work session to be added to the next regularly scheduled meeting.
And I was going to ask that question. If we had a board meeting, and then if we had a meeting that we had to schedule, let's say 3 days later, using the 12-day in advance would prohibit individuals from putting the...
At the next scheduled board meeting.
Okay. So, yeah.
Can I add one more thing to this?
Member Larson.
If this will come up for a vote, will this also include charter school issues?
My understanding is this would include any issues that come before the board.
So if a board member brought up a charter school issue, they could bring it up either 12 days in advance, or they could bring it up at the meeting for the following meeting.
Right, and I understand your question, given the unique nature of charter schools with the law and so forth. I understand that. But my understanding in reading this is that this would be all items.
All items.
And nothing prevents this board, again, from suspending the rules if there is an issue that needs to be dealt with that the board as a body considers to be an emergency or of such a unique nature that we have to deal with it. But this is for general business.
Yeah, if there's an exigent circumstance. Should that be put in there to clarify it? You know, you could at the very end of this sentence say, pending exigent circumstances or...
Well, I think,
or just don't worry.
I think our ability to suspend the rules in that situation.
It might be in this book here.
I'm sure it is. Madam Secretary.
Thank you.
Did you get the language that the board was? Okay. Thank you, Member Welton. Do you have any questions or issues regarding this item?
No, I think that's
okay. Seeing none from other board members, this item will once again come up at our next board meeting. Thank you. This takes us down to item 11, future items, future business. We have a August 17th, 2011, 6 p.m. regular scheduled board meeting at Palmer High. Okay, and we need to add August 15th. At what time again? Work session is 6 o'clock and also at Palmer High?
Central
office, I'm sorry. So the 15th, August, 6 o'clock, work session will be at the district office. The 17th will be at 6 p.m. at Palmer High. We have a regular scheduled meeting the 7th at 6 p.m. at Palmer High. Ongoing policy updates. I'm sure there'll be some committee reports because there is a or was there a or will be a activities committee meeting tomorrow. And it's at what time tomorrow? 4:30 at the district office. Okay. Issue of parking fees will come up. There's going to be discussion about a periodic update of charter school contract compliance since charter schools are on a time certain charter to ensure performance, student achievement performance. There'll be an enrollment update. There'll be a hiring update. also, I would like to just add, I would like the board to consider, especially early in the fall, to go out to some of our smaller sites at different areas in the borough for a board meeting before the weather and the daylight turn. Member Larson.
There's also a school site committee, but I didn't bring my calendar. Sarah, do you know when that is?
Wednesday the 10th.
Are there any other members, or excuse me, any other items that members wish to bring forward at this time? Member Larson.
Is there going to be a schedule for opening day, or is there going to be anything like that like we had last year?
Yes. Opening day is the September 2nd, and now that our principals are back and we ran that in service, the staff will work on opening day. And there will be an invite, of course, for the board members to be introduced if you are free that day. It is the Friday prior to Labor Day.
Any other items? Member Gaddis?
Yes, I would. Kind of following the rule of the thought of getting something on the agenda and following the superintendent's suggestion, I'd like to take a look at and kind of divvying up the schools and the school sites, and I wouldn't go so far as say districting, but rather choosing a school to really focus on or a couple schools per board member so that we can start getting focused on their community council meetings or their open houses or things like that. So I'd like to get that on the agenda and find out when those meetings are and when we can kind of choose, kind of in the same manner that we did the graduation, so that we made sure that we covered all of the schools.
Is there concurrence? I think it would be a I think it's a work session item because it's more of a board as Member Gaddis said, it's more akin to us agreeing to attend graduations and support graduations or support the schools in this instance.
Yes. Mr. President, the list for open houses isn't yet complete, but that was published to the board earlier, and we can use that as a draft to start working. So we can add this to our work session on the 15th.
Thank you. Any other items at this point? Member Welton? That was very difficult to hear, so we're going to have one of your fellow board members repeat that for the audience and listening audience. Member Gaddis?
I heard Member Welton say that she wouldn't be able to attend that joint meeting that would be in the Superintendent Paramo's office with the Assembly, and I'm also on that subcommittee, and I plan on attending. And thank you for attending the School Site Selection Committee for me, Sarah.
Okay, thank you. This takes us down to item 12. Once again, it's persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Before I go and read the lengthy rules, are there any individuals that want to speak to the board on non-agenda items? Mike Molesky?
Yes.
Come forward. Before you do, I'm going to read the rules for the record on request of the board. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for the public as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for a person to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mike Molesky. Thank you for giving me guidance. I think there's still something left for me to say. And there are two things, really. First, I wanted to express appreciation for the use of this building last Saturday night. Some of you may have participated. I know many others did in the last of a series of activities provided by the new old-time Chautauqua. We filled the gym, at least half of it, the side that we were using, and it was a wonderful venue. It was a wonderful opportunity for that group of 50 people visiting to share their approach to encouraging community engagement and joy. I mention that because Radio Free Palmer was a sponsoring local agency for that group, which had been revitalized in the 1980s. Among others, Dr. Patch Adams was responsible for reconstituting that group, and they've done some wonderful work both here in Alaska and throughout the Northwest. Having said that, I would also want to let you know that Radio Free Palmer is moving forward. We are expecting to be on the air by the time that the fair begins. We expect to be doing some live broadcasting from the fair. We have most of our technical issues taken care of, and that would mean that at some point we could have discussions about ways in which all of these activities that you've been talking about can be eliminated, and a number of these projects you have can be furthered by our coverage of what is happening here. And lastly, I want to stress that one of the aspects that makes Radio Free Palmer different as a media outlet is that we are dependent upon volunteers, and we've already had a number of individuals, students in particular, at schools that have participated. And we haven't, as we look toward this next year, have identified a number of teachers that are interested in involving themselves and students in the process of utilizing our services for training and for an outlet for information about individual schools. So I just wanted to update you on that, and now I'll return to my little room.
Thank you.
I know we can't ask questions, but what is the radio channel?
Member Gaddis?
What will the radio channel be for Radio Palmer? Sorry, I didn't.
It's an FM station, so it'll be 89.5 on your FM dial. For those of you who remember KSKA's alternate frequency, they're now 91.1. They used to be 89.5 as well. We're taking over their translator, which is located on Lazy Mountain. So our call sign, one of the last set of four letters left, was KVRF. K KVRF 89.5 on your FM dial, affectionately known as Big Cabbage Radio.
Thank you.
This takes us down to item 13, correspondence, board member committee reports. Member Welton? Would either a member Gaddis or Larson like to report on Member Welton's report? Member Gaddis?
I will. I was unable to attend the school site selection committee, and Member Welton went in my place, and she reported that there really wasn't much done. A couple members had come in and out, and it was a hot, stifling day, and that was pretty much it.
Thank you. Are there any other committee reports or correspondence? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 14, comments from school board members. Member Welton?
No comments.
Member Larson?
Just look forward to a new school year starting. Thank you.
Member Gaddis?
No comment.
Member Powager?
I registered my kids online. It was very easy. It was lovely to do. Can't wait for them to start school.
Member Cordero.
No comment.
I have a quick comment. The last time we had a meeting in here, Dr. Burnley was sitting to my right. Today it's Dr. Perarmo, and we welcome her. It was a very traumatic July, as we know, for the district and for the Burnley family. But I want to give credit to folks in the audience that were here over the summer, here in July, that stepped up to the plate to help this school district move forward and helped out the family in their time of need as well. I think that says a lot about folks in this district, folks that work for the school district, and people in this valley. My understanding is that Mrs. Burnley left for Detroit and Colorado Springs, where she is actually moving to. She's left the valley, but in talking with her when she left, she did say that Alaska and the valley, she was in Fairbanks as well, but folks in the valley, she will always remember for how they truly showed who they were during that very difficult time for that family and for the school district. And with that said, we all have very high hopes for our new superintendent, Dr. Dina Perarmo, and I would ask the board if we can just one more time for the public record just welcome her. Dr. Perarmo, do you have any parting comments as well as your staff?
Mr. Forrest? Mr. McVail? No, sir.
Thank you. With that, I don't believe there is any need for an executive session. Is that correct? No need for an executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Member Welton, how do you vote?
Yes.
Member Larson? Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
Member Powager?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Thank you.